ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 46। तावत् सर्वे वत्सपालाः पश्यतो यस्य तत्क्षणात् व्यदृश्यन्त घनश्यामः पीतकौशेयवाशसः। तावत् सर्वे वत्सपालाः पश्यतो यस्य तत्क्षणात् वदृश्यन्त घनश्यामः पीतकौशेयवाससः। तावत् सो लॉन्ग सर्वे ऑल वत्सपालाः बोथ द काव्स एंड द बॉयज टेंडिंग देम पश्यतः व्हाइल ही वाज वॉचिंग अजस्य ऑफ लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा तक्षणात् इमीडिएटली व्यदृश्यन्त वेर सीन घनश्यामः एज हैविंग अ कॉम्प्लेक्शन रिजेम्बलिंग ब्लूइश रेन क्लाउड्स पीतकौशेयवाससः and dressed in yellow silk garments. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Then, while Lord Brahma looked on, all the calves and the boys tending them immediately appeared to have complexions the color of bluish rain clouds and to be dressed in yellow silken garments. Purport: while Brahma was contemplating, all the calves and cowherd boys immediately transformed into Vishnu murtis, having bluish complexions and wearing yellow garments. Brahma was contemplating his own power, an immense unlimited power of Krishna. But before he could come to a conclusion, he saw this immediate transformation. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुवेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रसारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो वेलकम एवरीवन फॉर द भागवतम क्लास सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ सीनियर वैष्णवा स्पेशली महाराज फीलिंग एम्बैरेस्ड टू स्पीक बट समहाउ दिस सर्विस हैज बीन गिवन। सो we are discussing this beautiful pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma Vimohan Leela. So, it actually starts from chapter 12, the killing of Aghasur, and chapter 13, how Brahma steals the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys. And we are nearing the end of this chapter. In fact, this is the last chapter translated by Srila Prabhupada himself. So these are very special purports and very special section for all of us. And then 14th chapter will be the prayers by Lord Brahma. So this particular Brahma Vimohan Leela is a very important pastime for all of us. In fact, I think some sampradayas, I think Madhva Sampradaya, they don't accept this pastime very much, because for them it's very difficult to comprehend that how the head of the sampradaya, like we all belong to Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, that how Brahmaji could be bewildered. So they can't digest this, right? But for us, actually, one way of looking at this pastime is that Brahmaji is actually rendering a service. Being the great, one of the greatest Vaishnavas, he is doing a great service by revealing that how Krishna is the absolute truth. In this pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela, lot of the many purposes which are getting fulfilled by this one pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So we'll come to that. So in that sense, Brahmaji is doing a great service. It's because Krishna uses his pure devotees to enhance his pastimes. So by this pastime, actually, there are many things which were, many purposes which were solved by this Brahma Vimohan Leela. So this is the consciousness in which we should approach this pastime, that it's not a pastime which kind of demeans Lord Brahma's position. No, actually, it's a great service rendered by Brahmaji. And if you look at the prayers in the 14th chapter, one of the most beautiful prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam is Brahma's prayers to Krishna. It has been quoted extensively by Srila Prabhupada. So many beautiful verses like Tateno Kampam Susamikshamano Bhunjana Ivatma Kritam Vipakam Vridvag Vapurvir Vidadhan Namaste Jive Toyo Mukti Pade Siddhaya Bhag. That verse and so many beautiful verses in Brahma's pastimes. Even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see that Mahaprabhu often quoted many verses in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami and other places. Many times, many verses from Lord Brahma's prayers has been quoted at several places. So, it's a very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, personally speaking, one of my favorite pastimes, right from killing of Aghasur to Brahma Vimohan Leela, and prayers by Lord Brahma. And we have been hearing from so many days this pastime. So today, today's verse is just like Brahmaji is actually seeing the cowherd boys, how they are transforming in the form of Vishnu or Narayan. In the next verses, we'll see that immediately he saw that all these cowherd boys, they assume four hands and holding Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma, conch shell, disc, mace, lotus flower, wearing beautiful garland. So, this is the vision that Lord Brahma finally, he could actually see the truth, the reality. In the previous verse, we just saw that Brahma was contemplating that what have I done? My mystic power is like a glowworm. You know, glowworm, what they call in Hindi, jugnu, something, you know, small insects. The Sanskrit word is khadyota archi. Of course, these days we have a lot of light pollution, and in cities we don't see. But if sometimes you go to rural area, we can see small insects in the night. They have very little light. Have you seen that? So now, what is the value of that light compared to the sun? Yes, in the darkness, you know that he may feel proud, the small insect, that I am having so much light, I am removing the darkness. But in front of the sun, that insect is very, very insignificant. So that kind of feeling Brahmaji is getting, that my power, my mystic power is absolutely insignificant compared to Krishna's power. What have I done? So as Brahmaji was just thinking in this way, immediately Krishna actually mercifully revealed to him this beautiful vision. So all the cowherd boys, they transformed. And all the calves, not only cowherd boys but also the calves. And how many calves were there? We have seen in Aghasura chapter, asankhyata, there is a word, infinite. Countless cowherd boys and calves were there. And each of them, they transformed into bluish complexion, like rain clouds. Ghanashyam. We have Radha Shyam Sundar here. So Ghanashyam, just like in the rainy season, we see clouds which are filled with water. So that bluish color, that is Krishna's original color. So all of the cowherd boys and calves transformed into this Ghanashyama. And they were wearing Pita Kaushaya Vasasa. They were wearing yellow silk garments. So, of course, Krishna can wear any color, and he wears different colors, like we see in our altar also. But specially, his favorite is yellow. Therefore, it's called Pitambar. And so most of the places where in Bhagavatam the dress of Krishna or dress of Vishnu is explained, it's always Pitambar, yellowish, right? Or so same thing here, Pita Kaushaya Vasasa. I think today in the altar also Krishna is wearing yellow, it seems, I think. It's a Shadarshan, yes. So this is what Brahmaji finally saw, that all the calves and cowherd boys, they transformed into Vishnu Murtis, having bluish complexions, wearing yellow garments. And after getting this vision, we'll read the further pastimes. So, all these boys, actually in Vaikuntha also we have Chaturbhuj forms. But he also saw Srivatsa. So Srivatsa is only found in Lord Vishnu himself. So that means these cowherd boys were not simply expansions, but actually they were Vishnu, you know. They were not Jiva. They were Vishnu Tattva themselves. So Krishna personally expanded into all these different forms of cowherd boys and calves. And they were decorated beautifully with tender garlands of tulsi leaves. And great devotees were chanting prayers and hymns and worshipping, all the demigods were worshipping each and every Vishnu forms. So the opulence that Brahmaji saw is actually inconceivable. So we'll read the description as the chapter goes on, that even Kala, Swabhava, Karma, all these, you know, personification of all these tattvas, the three modes of material nature, and everyone, they were all offering prayers and glorifying all these Vishnu forms. So this is what Brahmaji saw, the opulence of Krishna. So this, if you just contemplate on the opulence of Krishna, so naturally we'll become humble, and that's what happened to Brahmaji. So after seeing this whole pastime, he became extremely humble. He could realize that although Brahmaji, imagine Brahma's position, Like we are, like Brahmaji compared himself to be a small insect compared to the sun, like compared to Krishna. And if you compare ourselves to Brahma, we are not even an insect. If Brahmaji is sun, we are not even that night insect. What is our position compared to Brahma? We are absolutely insignificant. Look at Brahma's age. His age is 311 trillion years. And what is our age? 60, 70, 80. Brahmaji is conscious actually of everything in this universe. He's the creator of all the species. He's the creator of all the planets. And so intelligent. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kave. Krishna reveals divine knowledge to Brahmaji. Even that Brahmaji, if he could be bewildered, Brahma Vimohan, if he could be bewildered by Krishna's potency, so who are we? So that's one of the very important lessons we learn from this, that even Brahmaji, he could be bewildered by Krishna's opulence, by Krishna's mystic potency. So this pastime, therefore it actually establishes that how Krishna is the only absolute truth. Shri Krishna Balram Radha Shyam Sundar Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So sometimes there is a little confusion about the original form of the Lord, right? Especially in India before we came in touch with devotees and Srila Prabhupada. So normally people think that Krishna is an expansion of Vishnu. Vishnu incarnates as Krishna. But this pastime actually proves that how Krishna is the source of all Vishnu forms. Many times people say that where is the proof? This is the proof. Of course in Bhagavatam we have so many verses. Ete chansa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge etc. But this particular pastime, it proves without, beyond any doubt, that the two-handed form of Krishna, the form of Krishna as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, that is the original form of the absolute truth. Everything else has come from that particular form, janmadiyasyata. So this pastime is very important from this perspective, that it proves very clearly that the original form of the absolute truth is this two-handed form of Krishna that we are right now seeing before us in the altar. How is this form? Like Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, Krishna rayataka khela sarvatama naralila naravaputaha rasvarupa gopavesha venukara navakishor natavara naralila rahaya anurupa. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is a supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hand and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. So yes, so this is the original form of the Lord. And then Mahaprabhu says, Krishnera madhura rupa suna sanatana yerupera ekakarna dubai sabatri bhuvana sarvaprani kare akarshana. My dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all three worlds in the ocean of love. He attracts all living entities within the three worlds. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifested from Krishna's eternal pastimes. So this form of Krishna is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. The wonderful form of Krishna in his personal feature is so great that he attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Indeed, Krishna becomes very eager to taste it. Total beauty, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in his opulences. Ornaments caress that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. You know, we know this verse, Bhushana Bhushanangam. So the ornaments, it's not that Krishna becomes beautiful when we do his Shringar, no. The ornaments become beautiful by coming in touch with Krishna. He beautifies the ornaments that he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of the ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three curved style of standing. Above all these features, above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their mind becomes agitated. The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive. Now hear carefully. The beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayans, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. So that means Krishna's body is not only attractive to human beings, to demigods, even the Narayans, even Krishna's own expansion, even they are attracted by Krishna's beauty. The minds of the Narayans are thus attracted by the beauty of Lord Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, who are the wives of the Narayans and are the women described in the Vedas as most chaste, are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Just see, now what is Krishna's beauty? Sometimes you take it very lightly. And which form of Krishna? This 200 form of Krishna. The form of Krishna that Brahma saw and was bewildered that whether he is the absolute truth or not, that particular form of Krishna is the original form of the absolute truth, is so beautiful that it attracts not only the demigods and all living entities, but also Narayan. We know this pastime, that how towards the end of 10th canto, Mahavishnu, this pastime, that how once there was a Brahmana in Dwarka, and one after another, his sons died immediately after taking birth. And the Brahmana was very angry. And he went to Krishna and he started speaking all abusive words, that the king is sinful, you are sinful, otherwise I am a pious Brahmana, why my sons are dying immediately after taking birth? And he was just using all filthy words. And once Arjuna was there, and when the Brahmana came and was speaking in such a abusive way, so Arjuna felt hurt. You know, a devotee cannot tolerate when the Lord is blasphemed. So Arjuna became extremely angry and he gave promise to this Brahmana that I am Arjuna, the famous carrier of Gandiva vow. I take a vow that I'll protect your son. So next time when a child was about to be born, so Arjuna personally was there in front of the house of the Brahmana. He made a very strong and powerful protection, a kind of guard all around the house of that Brahmana with his arrows. And he was personally standing. But even after that, as soon as the son was born, he died. And this time the Brahmana is even furious. He started, Arjuna, you should be ashamed. You claim yourself a Kshatriya. Look what happened. And Arjuna as a Kshatriya, he felt very insulted. And he thought of quitting his body. And then Krishna came and said, don't worry Arjuna, come, let's go. And Krishna took his chariot and took Arjuna with him. And the whole description is given. He penetrated the entire universe. You know, this universe is covered with various layers, earth, water, etc. So he covered all the layers of the universes. He surpassed this material world and Brahma Jyoti, and then actually he finally reached the abode of Mahavishnu. And so imagine, so Mahavishnu is welcoming Krishna and Arjuna. And that time, Mahavishnu said, I took all the sons because I wanted to have your darshan. So that means even Mahavishnu or Narayan, even he is attracted by Krishna's beauty. So what to speak of other living? Therefore, Krishna is, his name is Krishna, all attractive. So this particular pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela actually establishes this fact that this form of Krishna, the 200 form of Krishna, as a cowherd boy, holding a flute, holding a cowherd rod, holding bugle, this simple form of Krishna as a cowherd boy is actually the original form of absolute truth and the most beautiful form of absolute truth. It's simultaneously both. It's the source of all other forms. Vishnu Tattva, Narayan, everybody comes from this particular form, the original form, and this is the most beautiful and most attractive form of the Lord. This has been established by this pastime of Brahma Vimohan Leela. So therefore, so even earlier I used to think, you know, sometimes that why this, you know, how Brahma could get bewildered. He's the origin of our sampradaya. Krishna personally revealed knowledge to him. He's the son of Krishna. He has taken birth from the lotus coming out of Krishna's, you know, Vishnu's navel. How he could be bewildered? So then after hearing some from Vaishnavas and reading, I could get this realization that actually it's a service by Lord Brahma. He wanted to reveal Krishna's glory. Just like we hear in Bhagavatam that Bhrigu Muni, you know, this pastime that how the sages were having some discussion that who is the greatest, Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva. So Bhrigu Muni took up this task that okay, I will go and test. So what he did, he went and first he went to Brahma and he didn't respect Brahma, his father. And Brahma got so angry with him. So he said, no, he is not supreme. He gets angry just by not getting respect. Then he went to Lord Shiva. And then to Lord Shiva, he verbally committed offense. You know, verbally tried to speak harsh words and insulting words. So when Lord Shiva came to embrace Bhrigu Muni, he said, no, don't come close to me. You are so dirty, wearing ashes and all that. And Lord Shiva was so angry, he took up his trident and was to kill Bhrigu. And Parvati stopped, no, wait. And then Bhrigu went to Lord Vishnu and he kicked Lord Vishnu on the chest, imagine. You know? Like we saw offenses first of all on the mind, then words and then physical. So he just offended Brahmaji in his mind, but Brahmaji got angry. Lord Shiva he offended through his words and he got angry. And here he came to Lord Vishnu and kicked him on his chest, imagine. You know? And what Lord Vishnu said? Oh, my dear Brahmana, my chest is so hard. Your feet is so soft. You might have got hurt by kicking me. And then, you know, so then Bhrigu said that this is the proof that Lord Vishnu is the greatest. That even after such a great insult, still he is so sober. I think Prabhupada writes a famous line there that greatness of a person can be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Something like that. That the greatness of a person is how he can tolerate such situations. And Lord Vishnu actually tolerated. So now Bhrigu was a devotee, but he did this service to establish that Lord Vishnu is the greatest. But you know, after this pastime, but Lakshmi Devi, she could not tolerate to see this happening to her husband. She actually came down to earth and did a lot of tapasya in a place in Maharashtra, I think Kolhapur, and is connected to that Tirupati Balaji pastime. And the Lord Vishnu also came. So anyway, long pastime. But just like Bhrigu Muni did this to glorify Krishna, to glorify Lord Vishnu's position, so same way Brahma, this entire Brahma Vimohan Leela was actually enacted to glorify Krishna, to establish that the 200 form of Krishna is the original form of the absolute truth, is the most beautiful form of the absolute truth. And of course we know there are many other, like Krishna through one pastime, he fulfills so many objectives, you know, he does so many things through one pastime. So we all know that the cowherd, the elderly cowherd women of Braj, they wanted to also personally feed Krishna with their milk. They wanted to personally take care of Krishna. So to fulfill their desire, so Krishna expanded himself as the cowherd boys. So for entire 1 year, all the cowherd women of Braj, they personally could serve Krishna. They could personally bathe Krishna, dress him up, and feed Krishna milk, and so they did direct service to Krishna. So this 1 year, they got that opportunity. Because of course they were always assisting Mother Yashoda, and there was no envy. They were always glorifying Mother Yashoda. But somewhere, you know, they also had that desire that when can I also personally serve Krishna like my own son? So this hidden desire Krishna fulfilled by this pastime. And we have also heard that how during this 1 year, Purnamashi, she declared that this is the best time. The stars and planets are very auspicious position. So this is the best time to marry all the girls in Braj. So that time all the gopis, they were married. And since all the cowherd boys were Krishna, so all the gopis, they married to Krishna. So this is also one of the objectives of this Brahma Vimohan Leela. So Krishna married all the gopis. He gave an opportunity to all the elderly women of Braj to serve him personally. And of course, we go, Brahmaji, later he offers beautiful prayers to Krishna. So these are some of the, you can say, the esoteric reasons behind this Brahma Vimohan Leela. And one more thing also, that Prabhupada explains in one of the previous purports, that did Brahma actually steal the cowherd boys? Yes or no? He could not. How can Brahma steal cowherd boys? They are direct expand. They are personal associates of Krishna. Do you think Brahma has the power to steal them? No. The example is given by Srila Prabhupada about Mother Sita. So was Mother Sita kidnapped by Ravana? No. The actual Mother Sita was never kidnapped. It was Maya Sita who was captured by Ravana. In this past time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, and there was a Brahmana in Madurai who invited Lord Chaitanya for Prasad, but he was very sad. He didn't take Prasad. So Mahaprabhu said, what happened? Why are you not eating? He said, I am very upset. I am very sad. That how could Ravana, a demon, a third class person, how could he touch the divine body of Mother Sita? I cannot digest this fact. How could he do that? And he was so upset about that. So when Mahaprabhu went further, I think at Rameshwaram or somewhere, he found a verse in Kurma Puran, which actually says that the Sita kidnapped by Ravana was Maya Sita. And the real Sita was with Agni Devi. And after the whole Lanka war, and when Lord Ram returned, so when this Agni Pariksha was done, so real Sita was returned back. And the Maya Sita went inside fire. And immediately when Mahaprabhu got that verse, he actually took the original copy and came back to Madurai to show to that Brahmana. Just see how Mahaprabhu cares personally for each one of his devotees. He personally came back and showed him. He said, look, here is the proof that Mother Sita was never kidnapped. She was never touched by Ravana. And hearing this, the Brahmana became so happy, and he organized a big feast and fed Mahaprabhu, and he also took prasad. So just like that pastime, that mother, the real Mother Sita was never touched by Ravana. Similarly, the actual cowherd boys of Krishna, they are not ordinary people. I mean, they are Krishna's own eternal cowherd friends. Subal, Shridam, Stoka Krishna. Do you think a demigod like Brahma has the power to steal them? No. It was all Krishna's pastimes. So Brahma could only steal the Maya form or the false form of these cowherd boys. So this whole pastime was enacted by Krishna for all these purposes. And especially for all of us, we can actually realize that how Krishna's form is the absolute, the original form of absolute truth. All the Narayan forms, they are coming from that form. And by we get a glimpse of Krishna's opulence in this pastime. Krishna's opulence is infinite, but through this pastime we get a little glimpse that how Krishna could immediately expand himself into all these cowherd boys and calves exactly in the same form. And he did this pastime for 1 year, and even Balaram could not figure out. That is also something very interesting fact, that Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, even he could not realize that all of these cowherd boys and calves are Krishna. It's only, it said, few days before completion of 1 year, Balaram, he got this doubt when he saw that pastime, that how the cows were running from top of Govardhan. Then Balaram, he got some doubt that there's something wrong here. I think these are all, looks like they're all Krishna's personal expansions. And then he asked Krishna, and then Krishna revealed the truth. Just see Krishna's mystic potency, that even Balaram, who is the first expansion of Krishna, like Prabhupada says that there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram except their color. One is black, one is white. Shyam Sundar, and other is whitish. But still Balaram, he himself could not understand this pastime. Even he got bewildered. It's not even Brahma Vimohan, also Balaram Vimohan. Even Balaramji got bewildered by Krishna's pastimes, you know, his potency. So this pastime actually establishes the supreme position of Krishna, his original form as a cowherd boy. So this is such a wonderful pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, and we'll be hearing further the actual description of the opulences of all these forms, and the next chapter will be beautiful prayers by Lord Brahma. So very beautiful prayers by Lord Brahma, and this also has a connection with Gaur Leela, that but Brahma, even after offering prayers, but he had that guilt, that how could I offend Krishna? Imagine, you know, he stole all the cowherd boys for 1 year, and therefore it is said that he came to Navadvip and he performed austerities. And finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared before him, and Brahma said that give me a benediction, give me a birth in which I'll have no pride and I can constantly chant your holy names. And Mahaprabhu said that you will appear as Haridas Thakur. So Brahmaji appears as Haridas Thakur in Gaur Leela, and that's why he appeared in a Yavana family where he was always, we have seen that how much Haridas Thakur was always insulted, and he went through so many difficulties, but all the time he was chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this also nice pastime, that how Brahma Vimo Leela leads us to Haridas Thakur and Mahaprabhu. So these pastimes are so wonderful. I just remembered a few days back, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj gave the class, and I liked a very interesting point in the class, that when we hear Bhagavatam, then actually we can chant properly. So he gave this beautiful connection between hearing Krishna Katha and chanting. So he said the more we hear Krishna Katha, the more we can relish chanting, and we can actually chant in a better way. So thank you all for hearing and giving me a chance to render some service. Any questions or comments? Yes.
There's a point in the Bhagavatam about the forgiveness. The Brahmins are very forgiving. This is one of the qualities. So even though it appears that Lord Brahma created such a big, he was fearful, well, what did I do to my Lord here? But Krishna was just taking it in a very, like my son is being mischievous, and it was lighthearted about it. So I think that's a principle that he was exhibiting. Also, that we're we're all going to have difficulties, but that forgiveness is a big principle. So maybe a comment to one else on that.
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji. Nice comment. That yes, one of the lessons also we learn that how Krishna is so forgiving. So Brahma was very, he was very apprehensive and he was very nervous that he did such a grave offense. But actually Krishna didn't take it very seriously. And Brahma himself in his prayers he says that just like child inside the womb, sometimes the child kicks the mother. But mother doesn't think, oh this child is so, the child has offended me, I should punish the child. No, I mean the mother, no, the small child, small baby. So actually that's a very nice point Prabhuji mentioned that yes, that is Krishna's mood, that he doesn't take the offenses of his devotees very seriously, he is always forgiving. The same time as devotees, we should not take misadvantage of this, that we should from our side be always careful. But yes, Krishna is so merciful that if, and we have seen this many times in Bhagavatam. Look at Indra. Of course, Brahma we hear only once, but Indra has done mistakes so many times. Govardhan Leela, we saw that how he tried to kill all the Brajvasis, Krishna forgave him. The same Indra, even after this whole pastime, he didn't get proper realization. Again, he did mistake when Krishna and Satyabhama, they wanted a tree, a simple tree. For that, Indra fought with Krishna again. But again, Krishna forgave Indra. So that is, yes, Krishna's so merciful that for his devotees, even though they commit offenses, he always forgives devotees. Yes. Yes, Rajvidya Prabhu.
Thank you. Who is the last time you told about this? Maharishi wanted to see Lord Krishna. And then passing this Brahmans, like he was speaking, so like you said bad words or other words, Krishna, and then he said to Arjuna. So, how may you should understand the Brahman character at that time? Brahman should be like,
yes, you are right that Brahman, I mean that, again of course this is again he assisted in the pastime of Krishna, from one angle we can see that, because of that only this whole pastime happened. But from different angle, Brahmanas sometimes when, in spite of being religious, if they undergo some difficulties, they become angry also. That's also another quality of Brahmanas, sometimes they become angry, like we see, they have the Brahma Tejas, they can curse people. So that's also there. So when you perform austerities and you practice strict principle as a Brahmana, you also get that spiritual power. So you have that guts that you can also speak strongly to the king. So that's actually another sense of glory of a Brahmana. That he is not a person who always flatters, always he's, you know, he feels that he's subordinate. No. That's why Brahmanas never took salary. When you take salary, you feel you are indebted or you are under someone. That's why Prabhupada says a true Brahmana never takes salary, because he is always, you know, he has that sense of, you can say, that independence, that I am depending only on the Lord and no one else. So that's a kind of feeling that Brahmanas have. So therefore they are so strong that they can even speak strongly to the king. They don't fear the king. Yes. Thank you. And that is also another principle, that if the king is sinful, because of that everybody else has to take part of their sin. So that's what the Brahmana was saying, that I am religious and pious. If this is happening to me, that means because of your sin, because of the king's sin. In that way he was accusing. Okay, so thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.